The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Gerry McDermott is with me now, though. Gerry is the Executive Director of the Irish Cultural Centre and he is a former Sheriff of Norfolk County in Massachusetts. Gerry, good to talk to you again. We're expecting this announcement in the next few minutes. If we get any detail on it, we might talk about it. Donald Trump's post on Truth Social about half an hour ago of reciprocal tariffs. Now, that could apply to almost any country around the world because there's such a complicated systems of tariffs that apply. So we might come back to that. In the meantime, can I ask first about his conversations yesterday with Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky? What has been the reaction in the US to these developments?
Well, I think mostly positive. You know, there's been so much bloodshed and such a loss of life on both sides, the Russians and the Ukrainians. So I think people have been yearning to see a peace there. And truly, the amount of money that's been spent, you know, go back in history. We all know stories of war profiteers, war profiteering. I mean, it's just sad to see that, you know, a couple hundred billions of dollars have been sent in U.S. aid to Ukraine. And at the end of the day, a peace will be brokered, but it looks like Russia may walk away with a piece of Ukraine. Neither side wants to walk away with their tail between their legs. I don't know that either could claim victory, seeing as how they've had such catastrophic loss of life, property damage, damage to their infrastructure, airports, schools, what have you. So it's a true mess. I think that people here in America had wished that maybe under the previous administration, peace talks had ensued, but you know Trump did promise one thing he would do if he were elected is to try to end the war between Russia and Ukraine, and to that end, he's keeping his word. I don't think either side will be perfectly happy, but at the end of the day, I think most people here at home in America just end that bloody war. It's got to end.
Yeah, and I don't think it's just people in America. I think there's a lot of people who at this point, you know, would like to see it end. I think a lot of people yesterday as well, they were trying to kind of interpret the phone calls and the importance of these phone calls in the context of what Pete Hegseth had to say, the US Defense Secretary at this NATO summit. And he talked about, listen, going back to pre-2014 borders of Ukraine, that's probably unrealistic. No NATO membership long term for Ukraine. No US military guarantees long term. And listen, as you say, there's an element of compromise in any peace negotiation. Nobody gets what they want. I think what some of the criticism directed at him and maybe then indirectly directed at Donald Trump as well, if that makes sense, not too oxymoronic, is that a lot of the talk of compromise seems to be on the Ukrainian side.
Sure. Of course it does. And that's the way I see it as well, that the Ukraine is going to have to yield more. But I think at the end of the day, Ukraine really isn't in a position to hold out hope that their map is going to be what it was pre-2014. I just don't think it's realistic. And at some point, they have to make a calculated decision. Can we beat Russia? Have we exhausted the flow of money from the U.S. and European allies? And I think that we're nearly there. I'm not sure. I can't speak for the rest of Europe, but I know the people have given mightily. And you know, every country has their budgetary limits. So I think people do want to see some give. And at the end of the day, Putin will have to give up some too. He's going to have to be kept in a box going forward. I'm sure he's a tough guy to deal with. He seems like a real strong man. But Trump seems to have his number and seems to know how to play him and play his ego and keep him in check. And I think that's important for Europe as well as, you know, U.S. interests. But he's just got such a grip on everything from rare earth minerals to precious oil and gas that Europe needs, our allies need. So there'll be a bit of give and take. And I do think if you had to say one looks a little bit more like a winner than the other, they're going to tip the hat to Russia so that Putin can go away with his ego in check. But at least it stops the bloodshed.
When he's at that summit, when Pete Hegseth has been at that summit as well, he's reiterated these calls for other NATO members, particularly the European members, to ramp up their defence spending. It does seem to be a kind of a slight change in tone from maybe the first iteration of the Trump presidency, where he seem to kind of openly flirt with the idea of withdrawing from NATO at times. Now, that might have been a negotiating tactic, and you and I have talked about that before, but that doesn't seem to be on the table now. It seems to just be a kind of a more mature conversation around how much each member yes. contributes.
100%. You're spot on. I think that he, look, at time he is known for saying some things and people say, well, that's just, you know, him bluffing, you know, trying to make a deal. But I think any talk of withdrawal from NATO is just out of the question. We need a strong NATO alliance. He knows that. And I think he's kind of grown a lot since the first term. And I think he's changed a lot since, you know, having a near-death incident where he was shot at. So he's very focused. He's moving at a rapid pace, both with domestic and foreign policy. But I do think that the idea of Ukraine joining NATO is probably off the table. And in hindsight, and I don't want to, you know, pick on a former president, but I think Joe Biden now, we're all aware that maybe his cognitive issues were there earlier than were first admitted. And when President Biden, former President Biden, said things like, well, let's see if Russia does an incursion, and maybe if it's only a little incursion, that, you know, we'll see how we react. Well, to a guy like Vladimir Putin, that was a wide-open invitation to storm in. And look at the debacle that ensued.
You know, there's obviously a focus and a preoccupation in this country with regard to Donald Trump's utterances or his policy positions with regard to NATO or Gaza or Ukraine or, you know, foreign policy, we'll put it this way. I mean, I was in the States during the election, and obviously there are people who care about those things. People much more care about the price of eggs, for example. That was the one that caught everybody's attention. So tell me, what do people make there, or how has the reaction been to U.S. inflation unexpectedly increasing yesterday?
So people are not surprised, because just as Trump was coming in after the November election, we had this nasty little virus breakout, another one. And this one was the bird flu. And it has really damaged the poultry farms. So lots of birds are just being slaughtered. And therefore, you know, it's resulting in the price of eggs going up. I do think it's transitory inflation, as the previous administration claimed. But this one, I think, will be. But I was just at the market yesterday, and there was a woman paying $19 for 18 eggs. So, you know, usually we get a dozen eggs, but you can buy them in packs of 18, and she was paying $19.
Wow.
Not happy at all. So, you know, I think that Trump realizes he's got a window, and that window is his honeymoon period, and it usually for a president is the first 100 days. So he's moving on a lot of fronts. He's dealing with a lot of issues, but at some juncture, the American people, the people who supported him, are going to turn and say, where are we on inflation, price of eggs, price of gas?
This is the danger, Jerry, isn't it, of his approach with regard to tariffs on other countries? Because, you know, the logic of tariffs, and we're not huge fans of them, maybe in this country, understandably, with regard to the U.S.-Irish relationship and how much we export to the U.S. But, you know, the logic is that you protect U.S. industry, or where that industry has disappeared, you maybe encourage it to come back to the country. But they're all kind of long-term things. And as you say, if you've got a window of opportunity and tariffs actually hike up inflation and the price of eggs in the meantime, I don't think people in kind of Dearborn, Michigan, or wherever it happens to be, are going to care too much about your logic of kind of industry returning at some point, indeterminate point in the future, when they can't afford their groceries.
Yeah, it's a gamble. I want to hear more from not only President Trump, but from his economists that are advising him. Now, I mean, there are places like, say, India. You take India, and they impose almost a 10% tariff. I think it's between 9 and 10 on American goods. And we only have a 3%, you know? So that's not quite fair, the difference. I understand where he's going with this. But at the end of the day, as you point out, you've got to be very sensitive, the American consumer, because it's only a matter of time before, you know, they love you yesterday, they could hate you tomorrow. So this is a bit of a gamble. I think we'll all learn more when he has his press conference to see what the plan here, what the play is. Is this a long-term strategy, or is it a short-term strategy to have fairer trade. There's always another shoe to drop, right, with the negotiations. So we're all very eager to hear from the president and his economist on what the game plan is here. But even some publications like Forbes and Bloomberg that are very pro-business are warning that this could result in higher prices for the American people.
Well, we have a listener in San Francisco who's after getting in touch to say they got 18 eggs for $14. So a slightly better deal than in Massachusetts. But hey, listen, Jerry, I understand the Danes are offering to buy California. So maybe those people in San Francisco will be able to buy their eggs in Danish kroner before long. Listen, it's good to talk to you as always. And we will chat again soon. Jerry McDermott, Executive Director of the Irish Cultural Centre, former Sheriff of Norfolk County in Massachusetts.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.